very, I mean, you go back to the whole season, very few drives that we were beaten. It was us beating ourselves, penalties, whatever it was. Because when we're on a roll, I mean, I don't think our offense can be stopped.
Nick, we had Dave Tobe on the program the other day, and he mentioned a point in the game when the fourth quarter, when the 49ers took a 10-point lead, that on the sidelines, on the Chiefs' sidelines, you guys noticed that maybe they were celebrating a little bit early, and that had an effect, and it motivated players because that's something that, you know, obviously you don't want to see. Do you remember that? How big of a role did that play?
Yeah, I definitely remember that, and it was, I don't know if it's, it was, I don't know, a feeling of, I don't want to say disrespect or, you know, they were, yeah, we saw them celebrating. And there's significant time left on the clock. I mean, so much that we know we're getting at least two drives left in this game, no matter what. And we're not down two touchdowns, so how could they, you know, be celebrating? So all we had to do was go out there and execute, and we did it. I mean, Pat is one of the most special players to, you know, ever play this game, and he does what the team needs him to do. But yeah, I definitely remember that sparked us a little bit, and then really just after that first touchdown, we smelled the blood and kind of all we needed.
What is he like, Mahomes? I mean, what you know, when you think about a guy like that, there's people compare him a little bit to Brett Favre because of the way he plays. His arm strength is so remarkable. We see his. When he drops back, I think the one pass was a 14-yard drop. Now, obviously, they got a good pass rush. But that guy, his arm strength, have you ever seen anything like that? I mean, what's he like in the huddle, and does he know how great he is?
I guess in terms of answering the arm strength, no. I've never seen anything like that. I don't think many people have. I mean, you'll watch, you know, Coach Hack, our 29, you know, played 12 years, 17th year coach. He's been in the NFL for a long time, and it'll just be practices or whatever it is, and we'll watch a play, and he'll happen to, you know, watch the wide view for one rep and just rewinds it, watch it again, rewinds it, watch it. we watch the offensive line. That's what we do in the film room, but there's sometimes you just can't not watch what he does, you know, on a everyday basis. And I don't think he does know it. I think he understands what he can be, what he has the potential to do. But I mean, I don't know, the way he walks around, he's, you know, a 24-year-old that loves playing football, loves competing, and wins a lot of football games. And other than that, I think he's just enjoying it, you know.
You know, Nick, you had to wait until the seventh round. You were the 216th pick overall in the NFL draft last year, and you get to the Chiefs. You make the team, and I think you play a reserve role, and what an experience this has been. What was it like to play for Andy Heck, a former Bear that a lot of people in Chicago still remember?
Probably one of the, you know, best experiences I've had in Kansas City was playing for Coach Heck. I played for some good offensive line coaches in my career, but he's – I've never played for a coach that, you know, had that type of NFL career. And it really helped. I think it really helps the players because his viewpoint is he understands the difficulty of preparing for a game mentally and then the physical challenge that you have every single rep. He knows that, you know, we can go out there, we can put in the best game plan. We can use, you know, practice the best technique. And then, you know, you could be out there and, like the 49ers, Nick Bosa's on the edge. Your training might not work on that play because he's just that sort of player.
What was that like? When you start talking about prepping for that particular group, how do you go about, you know, how do you simulate that with a scout team? And what was it like for the offensive line knowing? I mean, really, if they were going to win that game, they were going to do it up front.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was the biggest challenge we had all season. They had five first rounders on their defensive line, which is absurd, but they were special. So for us, we just realized, I think in the run game, we had an opportunity to open up some holes there. And then where they kind of had, you know, made their hay all year was the twist game. So if we could really get rid of movement in the run game and get rid of the twist game, and then, you know, let them, you know, beat us with their straight rush, which, I mean, that won a lot of reps for them all year as well. But take care of all the you know, the one-off stuff that they're going to do. And then, hey, if they rush four and one of their DNs gets the edge, it is what it is. We've got Pat, you know, back there ready to make a play if he needs to. So that was kind of our mindset.
So, Nick, what has this week been like for you? How much have you slept and celebrated, and what was the parade like?
I've been getting some sleep finally, but yeah, the first night, I mean, by the time we got back to the hotel, it was about midnight. So we had, you know, a team party down in the hotel. Pitbull came and performed. So that was pretty fun. Wow. My family was there. My mom, my dad, my girlfriend, my brother, sister-in-law, my girlfriend's dad. So we're all there just having fun, eating some food, having some drinks. And then family kind of, you know, said, like, all right, like, we'll go let you have a little bit of fun. I mean, I don't know what time they left, probably 4 a.m. So we just went up with a couple offensive linemen, had a cigar, relaxed, kind of reminisced on the season. And then had to have our bags check in by, I think, 9 a.m. So not a ton of sleep done that night. And then really just, I mean, the parade was probably one of the craziest things I've ever seen. It, you know, we've got two players on our team that have ever been through it, Wiz and Suggs, and I think they understood it, and they definitely kind of took the ropes yesterday. But I saw Wiz get off the bus, you know, about a block into the parade. I'm like, all right, yes, that's what we do. So I got off the bus and pretty much didn't get back on the whole time. Kansas City fans were awesome. It was freezing, but, you know, at a certain point, you don't feel it, and you're excited, and definitely one of the day to remember for sure.
So Nick, I covered Andy Heck when he was a player. He was a player here, and got to know him a little bit. I would be more afraid of working out with Olin than I would be playing for Andy
Heck. Yeah.
Yeah. Coach Heck is definitely a great guy to play for. He's always got a smile on his face. Definitely get after you if you entice it, but a good guy to play for sure.
How did you end up hooking up with Olin Kreutz before the draft?
Was that through Lovey?
Yeah, so I obviously, you know, played with Coach Smith. So there was a connection there. And then my dad had actually met him. I'm not sure through what event it was. But then we kind of just worked those connections. And, you know, Olin's such a great guy that we asked, like, hey, you know, you're going to come out for a workout maybe sometime. And no hesitation, yes. I kind of went out there and, you know, worked out the first time, and I had no clue if, like, is this going to be, you know, one and done deal? And he's like, yeah, let me know when you're free the rest of this week, and then we'll start to get a schedule going for weeks past. And we just kind of be a 2-3 workout, maybe even 4 workouts a week.
Wow.
I think in preseason, and then right before I came back to Kansas City for the season. You guys obviously know Olin from just being in Chicago so long and covering him, but just such, he loves offensive line. He loves offensive line. He loves weightlifting. He loves training. So anyone that's going to, you know, come and join his gym and work the way that he, you know, grew up, I mean, he was happy to have it, I think, and it was awesome. Honored to be out there training in his gym.
Had to be fun for you, because I'm sure you watched him play too when you were a kid growing up.
Yeah, I mean, him and Roberto Garza are two reasons that, you know, I really loved playing offensive line. As a kid, you know, you watch the ball when you're playing football. That's what a lot of young kids do. But whenever I was watching offensive line, I was watching those two. They worked really well together. But two, they just played physical. They played a nasty type of offensive line that even in their era, when there were a lot of players like that, there were two guys that stuck out. So just getting to watch that growing up and watch the Bears have some success with that. Yeah, they were, I mean, definitely guys that I tried to model my game after, and, you know, still try to model my game after every day.
So, Nick, what's the future hold for you? What do they tell you about your role moving forward, and how satisfied were you with your role this season?
Yeah, so, I mean, definitely happy with, you know, making the roster the whole team or the whole year, and, you know, eventually got moved up to the active roster to play, you know, reserve center guard role, play on some field goals. So happy with it for sure. But, you know, that's not the plan, not where I want to stay. So going to be going to this offseason, competing for either of the three interior spots. I think this season I showed the coaches that can play all three pretty well. So wherever they want to start me off competing, that's where it'll be. But I'm ready to compete for all three of those. And goal for next year is absolutely to be a starter. Yeah, this year was fun. Loved it. Could not have had more success. But as you guys know, no one likes sitting on the sidelines. So definitely going to move that up a level and, you know, going to next year as a starter.
Nick, how good is this team going to be? I mean, we had an argument the day after the Super Bowl about how many Super Bowls you were going to win, and I think we had a lot of them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's the team's incredible. You guys know that. I don't know anything about salary cap and
right
guaranteed, all that. I know people are talking, and that influences everything and who we need to re-sign, who we don't. But I know, you know, Brett Veach is going to do the best job he possibly can to bring everybody that was a part of this back, and if not, bring in new faces that are, you know, ready to tackle the same mission we had last year. But I don't know. I mean, I know Pat is a player that wants to win. You know, that's number one on his list every day. So I don't know what the team will do. I don't know what he'll do. There's so much talent on this team. It's every practice you just get to kind of sit there and watch something like, man, can't wait to see that on film later. Tyree catches a ball, you know, backwards 60 yards downfield. Or if he doesn't catch it, seeing probably the coolest thing for me is watching, you know, him, Trav, Pat, Tyron, if they made a mistake at practice, which didn't happen often, but coaches aren't saying anything. They're already on themselves, more upset than any coach could have been. So I think that's probably a huge reason for the success, that the level of, you know, competition and expectation that they have of themselves. So definitely excited.
Hey, Nick, thanks to Todd, man. Great catching up with you. Really appreciate
congratulations
you
too.
Telling us a few stories. A lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you guys for having me on.
Thanks, Nick.
Nick Allegretti, pride of the Lincoln Way East High School alum group. There's tons of them. And, of course, Illinois and local guy made good.
Not a bad year.
Yeah. He
leaves Illinois
pretty
after
damn
starting
impressive.
36 games.
And I love that he wants to compete and wants to start. I mean, that's what it's all about. God bless him.
Not a lot of seventh rounders, you know, make the 53-man roster, and he was able to do
on
that.
On a Super Bowl team.
Yeah, on a Super Bowl
team.
All
right, we'll bring in Dan O'Connor next, and it's Mully and Hall on the score.
The Text Zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com.
This week, find great deals at Walgreens. Right now, 12-pack Pepsi products are 3 for $9.99 with card. Limit 3. Plus, select varieties of all brand laundry care are $1.99 with coupon and card. Get great deals on the everyday essentials you need right here at your neighborhood Walgreens. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. While supplies last, restrictions and exclusions apply. See store for details.
911, what's your emergency? We got a severe manscaping accident on the line. Now, tell me what happened. Mm-hmm. You used a cheap, rusty razor on your privates. I thought so. You need the Lawnmower 3.0 from Manscaped. Its skin-safe technology helps prevent nicks and cuts. Yes, sir, you can save 20% off with code RADIO at manscaped.com and get free accelerated shipping. Help is on the way.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Did you know there are over 1,000 podcasts on Radio.com? Download the app or head to Radio.com to listen to all your favorite national and local podcasts, including your favorite morning shows and radio shows on demand. At the top of the app homepage, click the podcast icon to discover new shows, subscribe, and manage your podcast subscriptions. Go to your app store or radio.com/download for all your podcast listening. Radio.com.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670. Bernstein and McKnight, 9 a.m. to noon on The Score.
Who's the fattest guy to ever finish a marathon? Like, what's the finish? Yeah, what's the all-time record for, like, a big, great, big fat person just chugging his ass 26-2?
I mean, if it's all downhill, you can just roll him.
No, I'm dead serious.
I ran a 5K.
No.
We gotta find this out, because I would respect the hell out of that.
How odd of a Google search this is when I typed in fattest marathon. And every single result is fastest.
You mean fastest? No, I meant fattest.
This is going to take a while.
Right. All right, here's the dude. 400 pounds, Charles Bungert.
Yes! 8 hours.